It's so exciting to share with you on this whole idea of church planting and what God is doing in our lives and establishing a culture of church planting. And specifically in this session, we're going to focus on the role of the Holy Spirit and the anointing in our lives and the ability to do that which God has called us in specific communities. You know, the biggest mistake we can make is to take somebody else's stuff and duplicate that and say, well, because there are 10 methods that used to work in this place, now what I'm doing is I'm just copying it into my place or into my life. And it's not going to work like that because God has not called us to be like somebody else or to do something like somebody else has done. We all have different functions and different roles, but there's an authentic part of God's purpose that we need to fulfill. And it's so amazing to see how God is doing that and how God puts people together. So even in the last session when we spoke about the core group, it's so important that that leader that begins to establish the core group and begins to get people to knit their hearts together would just pray and say, Lord, I don't have a worship leader, but send me a worship leader that you have prepared for this specific work. And we should never be desperate for other people and especially for other churchgoers. Because remember, other people also come with a specific church background or sometimes with church baggage. And they have got a specific vision, a specific purpose that they want to live out. And if we just get that almost mixed multitude together, we can fail God in what God exactly wants to do through our lives. So the role of the Holy Spirit and what we do in our relationship with Him is so important. I love to just think of what Jesus did by walking on the earth with His disciples. And just as He walked, He would see the sheep coming or the shepherds, and then He would talk to them in parables. He would talk to them in stories. He would basically take their situation and bring it right into their lives. And He would say, this is how we're going to do this. This is what we do. This is the strategy. And we see even with Jesus going up to Jerusalem, how He didn't go into Jerusalem except for a specific time because He was very focused on only to do what He saw the Father do. And that's the key for us when we plant churches is obedience to what God calls us to do in that specific situation. And so many charismatic churches, especially what we do is we just say, oh, let's just have a structure. Let's just have an institution and let's try to duplicate that. But remember, every city, every town, every place that we want to penetrate and infiltrate has got a different background, has got a different history as to what Christians did there and what has been happening. Because sometimes people would have been praying there for years and now you almost come in there and it's just so easy for you to be able to continue the work that God has been doing there. And for other places, it's hard ground because there's been no church witness or Christian witness in that area. And I've realized that many times when you go to preach at a place, sometimes, you know, it's just like there's a free flow. People receive and everything. And sometimes you preach at a place and there's just like a wall that you preach against. There's no, you know, ground that has been prepared. And so it's so important that we listen to what the Holy Spirit says and that we experience Him and have evidence of the miracle working power of God. You know, many times what we do, especially as charismatic Christians, is we say, well, I'm Spirit-filled because I got baptized 10 years ago in the Holy Spirit. And that's not good enough. If we really want to live in this time that we are living, we must know that there's a generation that's being raised up with the supernatural. If you look at Hollywood and you look what's going on around us, there's a massive challenge because with Harry Potter and generations coming, they are desperate for a move of God. But they're going to find it either with God or they're going to find it in other ways, in bad ways. And that's why Hollywood is preparing generations to come with evil and with negative things and with the supernatural. And we need to step up and we need to say to God, it's not just good enough that we have been filled or baptized a while ago. We need to, like Ephesians says, continually be filled. And that's why God says when we come together in the church, everybody must have a psalm. Everybody must have a song. Everybody must have a word from God. So even in preparing ourselves when we go to small group, even in preparing ourselves when we go to church, it's so important that we go with something to give and to minister because that's what we want to establish. We want to establish a culture of ministry because everybody is a minister. And I love what when we read scripture, how Paul would in 6 months in Ephesus, raise up somebody from being saved to somebody being a pastor of a church. It is just amazing to see the dynamic. And everybody knew that they were part of what God was doing. Even Philip and these guys and Prochorus, you know, when they were separated to serve in tables and just dish out the food, the one requirement that they had and was needed for them was they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Scripture says about them, they were full of the Holy Spirit. And that's the power that we have. That's the place where we need to say, God, you've not just given us, Lord, a spirit of fear, but that of love and of power and a sound mind. And so we need to trust God for signs and wonders. We need to trust God for the miracles to happen. Not because we're following those miracles, but because those miracles establish a certain place and a platform for us to reach our communities. And we need to walk by faith when we start to establish that. Because what we want is we want growth. And the Holy Spirit brings a dynamic. So everything we do, whether it's from the finance meeting to the just cleaning out of our houses or whatever we do, we need to consecrate our venues. We need to consecrate our hearts. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to take full possession and ownership of what we are doing and where we are going. And we need to create an atmosphere where God is more welcome than people. And let me say, this is something that people get wrong all the time. They think, well, when we start a church, let's make the people happy. Let's put on a show. Let's be happy about, you know, and the better the show, the more people are going to come. No. First thing is we create an atmosphere and a platform from where God won't feel happy, but where you feel welcome, where he comes to tabernacle among us. Because it's the word and the presence of God that changes our lives. And that's why for each one of us, you need to find at least that one gift that God wants you to operate in. Whether it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the gift of the Father, the motivational gifts, where you can say, yes, Lord, I've got the gift of serving, or I've got the gift of giving, I've got the gift of mercy or leadership, which are gifts from the Father. Then I need to say, Lord, I want to start to move in those gifts. And Lord, let me find places in this core group and in this place of establishing a church where I can start to serve and where I can live out this gifting. I remember when I just started and I said, okay, Lord, I think I've got the word of knowledge. What happened is God said, pack out the chairs in the church. And that's what started to happen. I packed out the chairs. And as I packed out the chairs, God would give me words of knowledge as to who was going to sit on what chair. And it was just amazing. In the beginning, I got like 1 out of 10, you know. In the end, 9 out of 10 people that would get saved on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning in church, God would have sometimes even shown me their names and where they were going to sit. Because why? It's ministry. Packing out the chair is ministry. And I'm not too much for the word volunteers, although we use it. It's just practical. Everybody understands it. But when we become ministers in the fullness of God, and it's therefore not just the fivefold ministry, like we said in the previous session. It's not the fivefold ministry that's supposed to do the work of the ministry. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, it says that they are there to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My main function as a more evangelistic person, a pastor, is to equip you. That's what we're doing here today, so that you can go out there and be the hands and feet for God. Now, obviously, I must do the same, but my main function is to teach and to show you this is how we do it, and that's why we need to get out there. So, for God has given each one of us that, and according to your faith, Scripture says, according to your ability, you must prophesy. According to your gift, you must work in there and go in there and say, yes, God, I want to have that, even if I've just got one talent. And it's so amazing when we start to hear stories of ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. Because God is truly raising up an army. It's not just about an individual that has a great name and put his name on every Bible and say, this is the John whatever ministries all over the earth. And now, you know, because I especially believe in the last days that God is going to raise up an army of worshipers and an army of soldiers for him that's going to each one step into their place. You know, there's been a dispensation where many people have been saying, yes, there's this great ministry and it was coupled to a person's name. But when the whole body of Christ begin to come into agreement and the fullness of God manifest, oh, then exciting things will happen. So we must know that there's certain principles and areas of ministries that we must walk in. And that's why it's very important that we know that sometimes our music is going to change and the way we do things are going to change. We can never be stuck to one thing because it doesn't help us to sing songs from the 1930s. It's not going to be effective to reach young people. But the methods are going to change, but the message will never change. And we must be very careful because some people are changing the message. They're trying to be more relevant and they're trying to be more connecting with the communities, but then they're actually walking away from what God is saying. They, for instance, would talk a lot about grace, but not talk about holiness and talk about the fear of God. That's the beginning of all wisdom. So it's just important that we remain focused on what God has called us to do, and that we reach each one in our community, because God wants us to be pioneering people, and He wants us not to try to be like another church leader, try to be like another group, try to be more important than those, because we're not in competition with other people. We've got different giftings. And therefore, one of the biggest roles is to play to your strengths. You know, many people make the mistake that when they start a church, what they want to do is they want to reach everybody. No, no, find your strengths, focus on those strengths, and begin to establish and grow in those areas. Because otherwise, we're always going to look at our weaknesses, what we don't have, and God will add. God will add all the time. You know, and as we grow, we're going to be in different seasons of that church. But when we're a small group, find the common ground of what type of people do I have right here? Because we're 10 people. What are we interested in? And now we try to reach people that we can reach, because it doesn't help you just to quickly just jump all over the place and try and go and reach people in India while you're still 10 people, and you must reach your own community where you are. It's very important. Focus on your strengths. Focus on the stuff that God has given you, your fish and your bread, and let Him multiply that. And from that, you're going to grow to reach different communities. So if it's young people, we reach out to young people. If it's older people, we reach out to older people. We don't make excuses for that, although our heart is to preach the gospel to everybody, everywhere, and be accessible to everyone. But if you're just 10 people and you want to reach all the communities, you're going to really burn yourself out. And that's why sometimes we use different tools to reach different groups of people. The last part of this session, what we are going to do is focus on some things. You know, remember the methods are going to change. But there's some dynamics that we need to walk in, and we're going to do a practical around that as well, because it's very important that we understand God wants to use us, and He wants to take us to a place where we can be effective. You know, there's effective prayer and there's ineffective prayer. Scripture says like the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But that means there's also ineffective ways, you know, to pray. And there's also people that are fervent, passionate about what they're doing, and there's other people that are not passionate. We all know those people that sometimes lecture in class and they've got all the knowledge, but they can't communicate it. They're not passionate about what they actually have. And then you like think, oh, failure, you know. But it's so important that we find those places. And we're going to do a bit of an exercise with us as a church. And this is not to be negative. This is not to try and be critical. But there's some key things that we need to look at. And I'm going to talk about them quickly. First is passionate spirituality, and that's simply a heart after God, a heart to follow God, a heart to know God, a hunger and a passion for God, where there's really a zeal for Him, not to do a lot of things for Him, but really a zeal for Him. Then part of that, the second thing there is inspiring worship. You know, we first must worship God. We cannot minister to people before we've ministered to God, and we've come to open up our hearts to Him. So part of a dynamic church growth culture and a group, when you want to start a group, there must be a place, a platform where the Holy Spirit feels welcome, and we worship God, because in worship we see how big God is. We begin to establish Him in our hearts and build relationship with Him, because it's not primarily about planting churches. It's primarily about connecting people to Jesus, connecting people to the Father. And that's the platform we want to create. Then we also obviously need loving relationships. People out there are desperate for real relationship with other people. We come out of a broken society, and we should not have fake relationships, but real relationships. And from that place of building real relationships, God wants to establish His church. That's what Jesus also came to do. Then another one, point number four, it says there's need-orientated evangelism. Now, you've seen it. There's that some people stand on the corner there in London and they scream out and shout and with a megaphone, but they're not connecting with the people at all. And they think they're doing God a favor, but they're actually hurting people more by bashing them or telling them they're going to turn or burn, go to hell, you know, smell or go to hell. I don't know what people say these days, but very important. We need to have evangelism that reach people and connect with their heart. So that's what's called need-orientated evangelism. Another thing for a dynamic church is empowering leadership. You need to have strong leadership, because one of the things that is happening in our world is very simply a spirit of lawlessness, where everybody's just doing whatever they want to. But God said that He's going to raise up an army in the last days. And that army means there's structure, there's order, And God, obviously, He's the King, He's the Master. But God also appoints people functionally to be part of church leadership that must make decisions and also be accountable before God for the sheep. It's called shepherds. They're hirelings, they're shepherds, and then they're wolves. Yeah. But it's so important that you and I understand part of a dynamic church movement is leadership, strong leadership that follows God, obviously, and are obedient to God. Then there's also gift-orientated ministry. That's the place where everybody can flow in ministry and everybody can begin to fulfill their giftings and live out their giftings and their passions before God. Functional structures, we need structures. Now, obviously, the structures don't come first. It's always relationship first. Relationship with God and with each other. But if you have 1,000 people and there are no structures, you're going to get people offended. You're going to get people not come to the right venue. So we need lots of structures and even policies that helps us to get where we need to go. It's almost like the lines in the athletic race. It knows where you can run, the boundaries that you can run in. It doesn't make you run. It doesn't make you finish the race at all, but it just helps you to know what's the route that I must take and that we must take together. So structures are very important. And then also one of the dynamic things that has been identified in a healthy church movement is small groups. That place where people not just come together in big groups, but they come together and needs are really met. And from there, they can reach the community, they can step out, and they can trust God to really connect with other people. And what we try to do with these small groups is really have them with people together with the same passions, the same desires. It doesn't help you to have a millionaire and a very poor person, a beggar on the street, you know, because the millionaire is never going to share his needs where he prays for a breakthrough for 500,000 rand and then the beggar still needs food, you know. That's where the church as community must serve the poor. But we must have a place where everybody feels welcome. But again, more than that, that God feels welcome. So these are some just principles or some dynamic things to be purpose-driven and to be able to walk in the fullness of God if we really want the church to grow, if we want the lost to come in, and if we want people to be effective. And what we're going to do is in this practical, we're going to sort of assess in the church that we are in the local church that we're in, we're going to say from number one to number eight, what is the strongest that we're in and what is the weakest that we're in? And how can we be a part of focusing more on our strengths, but also establishing things so that we can build on our weaknesses and sometimes, you know, get other people in or release other people in certain ministries. So I want you to go and list those things and just say, well, we're very good at inspiring worship, but we're very bad at small groups. And then why are we good at worship? Because maybe there's leaders that have got a passion for worship. So we're going to do a bit of an assessment and evaluation, not to be negative, but to really say, okay, God, where are we now so that we can grow from here and strengthen ourselves so that we can be more effective as a church, as a family together, but also know our weaknesses so that we can say, yes, Lord, cover us, have mercy, have grace here in this area. And so let's do that practical and enjoy it together.